Because we said Enoch, who's there?
We didn't say what Enos meant.
No, and Jared lived after he begot Enoch, 800, and where we stopped in verse 19.
Jared.
And Jarhead.
That's right, Jarhead, Tom.
Now, Jared is a word. Each of these names are words that mean, in the Hebrew, their function, what happened to them. Jared is the word which means to descend or be cast down. It means it is probably prophetic of the flood. Okay? In verse 21, and Enoch lived. Wait a minute. No, I didn't. Verse 20, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died.
That's pretty old.
Enoch was a pup, though.
Hmm?
Enoch was a pup, though.
Not really.
65 years?
No. He lived, then he begat Methuselah.
Yeah, this is Enoch. Forget the other Enoch.
What was wrong with having children at a younger age back then?
Well, they did have children. You mean like maybe at 105 or something?
Well, they all start in their,
they could have had many other sons and daughters. Do you understand? They're talking here about the lineage. The only one that they are, if you read the lineage here, go back in Matthew.
Well, I know they didn't have just one, but you mean they didn't have a son until he was 65?
Maybe they could have had sons, but the only one that came, that Christ, that the Messiah came through, is the only one that they... It's the line of the seed. That's the only thing that's important here. Do you understand?
They would just know by revelation?
What?
How would you know this was like the right son?
Because the book was written by the Holy Spirit.
That's why I asked.
There's this guy.
How do you know this? This is the cool son. The other sons aren't cool.
So they had to practice the world other than by revelation.
Well, you know.
You don't know except by revelation. And that's why this is written.
What?
That's what faith.
There's this guy sitting.
Yeah.
Who knows everything.
Yeah, there's a guy. Hey, wait.
He knows how it ends.
Wait. We gotta get this straight. There's this guy, right? And
his name starts with a G.
His name starts with a G.
Three letters. Sounds like dog.
Odd. Sounds like odd.
And he knows a whole lot of stuff. But it's hidden. He knows a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay?
But he hides it from himself.
He hides it from. He hides it from people from California, especially.
And you know, that's understandable.
Yeah, when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense.
Yes. It really is. I'd hide it. If I was God, that's one thing I would do. I would hide it.
It's two toes. It's California.
If you think about Abraham, God, I'd hide
oh, yeah.
If I were God, I'd hide myself from people from California.
You think about Abraham,
but
he
asked who his descendants were. I mean, by the time I got to Abraham, he's like, well, so and so
is my God. Okay. Moses is the one that codified these books. Now, what that means is the book of Genesis, I said, was made up of 11 family histories. They probably was a lot fatter than this. You see, I mean, they had all kinds of stuff. Everybody wanted to have their name in the book.
Moses cut.
Huh?
Moses cut.
All that Moses did was edit the picture. You see?
Is this true that all this stuff at one time? There were little marks on a staff, and like the number one son got the staff, and he had to know what the marks meant so that he could recite all this by heart. Is that right?
Well, it's worse than that, but
semi-true.
Part of it is.
It's hidden from people from
New Jersey.
I saw the movie.
All right.
I heard it on Rick's show.
You're right.
And the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. Okay? First of all, Enoch is an incredible name. It means to disciple. It means to be initiated into the mystery.
Wow. When did he die?
Enoch means to know, to be among the Illuminati, to be the one that really knows. In Daryl's painting out here of the one who knows. You know, it's the one to be in Enoch is to be the one who knows.
The other Enoch doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Just happens to have the same.
He not only just happened to have the same name, he happened to be in the same lineage.
I understand. I'm just saying, there was a city named after him?
There wasn't any cities named after him.
Where are you? You thinking of Seth?
Call the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch.
Oh, okay.
Kid's name.
Okay, I don't want
to... Well, just forget it. It doesn't mean
anything.
All right.
Now, nothing means anything except right now. Okay?
The one who knows is here now.
Enoch knows stuff. Is there something you want to share a finger with the rest of your class? Huh?
He was showing it to September.
And you were showing that finger to September?
She was showing that concern that is only hers.
Huh?
He was
sharing it. What'd you say to him, September?
She's getting bored with the small talk, is what she's. Okay. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Now, walked in the Hebrew is a name that there is no other thing that's more important for you to understand. Forever. Forever. But the word walk doesn't mean he just, like, they went out and had like a little walk. They held hands. Now, it doesn't mean that. The word walk is the Hebrew word halak. And it means to do what it's intended to do. A river flows. The wind blows. Snakes creep. Trees grow. It's the act of doing exactly what you're intended to do is the word halak. You understand? The revelation here is that Enoch was the type of Christ who halaked. He did exactly what he was intended to do. He just was, without self-consciousness. Okay? You got that word? Halak. Rivers flow. We be. That's the secret of what we are. To be in the I, to be the peculiar people means that we are the I am people that do nothing but be. We cannot be anything other than halak if we let it out. If we keep it in, then we damn ourselves and become like the Dead Sea. But if you express what you are by the power of God, you must be in the position of halak. You will walk with God. You will halak with God, and you will not be, because you will be transfigured. Enoch is a picture of you doing what you were born to do without self-consciousness. You understand? Can you conceive of a state of being where you never second-guessed yourself? Well, it's here. Can you conceive of a state of being where no matter how hard someone was preaching at you, no matter how hard the hot seat was, that you would not think of yourself? That's what he means. That's what all of the mystery of Christ, when he talked on the Sermon on the Mount, agree with thine adversary quickly while you are in the way. I mean, never, ever, ever, ever have the need to be aware of yourself. Halak walked. Enoch walked with God. All right, that's enough Enoch stuff. And he lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. Now, I want you to see something in verse 22. He only walked with God after he begat Methuselah.
Huh. Oh, wait.
Wow. You understand?
Huh. Is Methuselah vanity?
Or he was in the fallen position.
Well, that's all of those things. But it's even wilder. The word Methuselah... He only walked with God after he begat Methuselah. It's clear that he did receive a revelation about Methuselah's birth because of the name. The name means, Methuselah means, when he is dead, it shall come.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
That's what the word means. When he is dead, it shall come. That means it, meaning the flood. Destruction happened. Can you believe the guy's trying to keep Methuselah alive?
Well,
Also, naming
all the bank presidents, right?
Especially with that name, if yeah. They knew what it meant.
They knew what it meant. Methuselah.
How you feeling today?
Is there anything I can do for you?
It's chilly.
Like the grapevine. How's Methuselah today?
It's like being a kid and calling him, when he is ready, it shall come and eat. You know, it's just like, every time you say his name, he's like,
But you see, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. You, Christ in you, will walk with God after you know that when it is come, you shall be gone. The cross. That's the mystery. That's the mystery of Enoch and Methuselah. But, think of the great lines you could do about Methuselah.
You wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is check the paper and see if
Methuselah is alive. And if he's sick, then you know. But think of this. The first stock market?
Oh, yeah.
It'd rise and fall with Methuselah's heart rate.
What? It's a lot like George Bush's health.
Now, right now, there are approximately, in this short span of time, there are probably 20 million people on Earth at this time doing stuff. Now, I'm going to show you when we get there in a little bit how the Earth was one piece at this time. In other words, there was an ocean separating everybody. The Earth was one solid landmass.
It was
an island surrounded by water.
A giant megacontinent.
There had never been rain. It was a megacontinent. It was surrounded by the mist, the clouds, so that the sun never shined directly. It was always this filtered light. Perfect climate. Things grew wonderfully. And then Noah comes along and says, it's going to rain.
48
Say what? They never even knew what rain was.
See this water?
Yeah, can't be, but this is feeling
that's rain.
The day Methuselah died is the day that Noah and his family closed the door of the ark.
So how come none of these pups thought it was going to flood? If they thought that it was going to end, did they think it was going to end somewhere?
Well, it's just like
but
now.
But it's end to me.
It's so better. Yeah.
It's just like now.
Tell me what end. I'm sitting here telling you that the time is going to end pretty soon. And you say, oh, yeah, say what?
Well, you're better yet. You're sitting here saying your objective is to be transfigured.
Yeah, your objective is. Yeah, tell me about transfiguring.
Sure.
You know, your only objective, your only reason for living is to be transfigured. Poofed. That's a new word.
Well, Enoch was poofed.
Metamorphic.
It could be poofed.
Methuselah Bush.
I like that.
That's a skin.
No, are you going to the
window? When he is dead.
No.
When he is dead.
Okay.
No, I got some work to do.
Finish the boat, I see.
And Noah hadn't been born yet. In all the days of Enoch, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Enoch is the great mystery man of the Bible. Not just the Bible. He is the great mystery man of the Egyptian Book of the Dead. He is the great mystery man of the Tales of Gilgamesh, the Gilgamesh Epic. In the Great Pyramid, which people believe was built before the pyramid and the Sphinx, the only two things that were built before the flood came, that there is something in the pyramid, in the throne room of the pyramid, called the Enoch Circle. Enoch lived exactly 365 and one quarter years. He was his. If you assign a year for a day, Enoch's life was 1 year. You understand? One cycle. And everything in that one cycle was completed in Enoch. And when he was over, it was over. Now, and Enoch disappeared. He didn't die. There are only two men in history that didn't die. Can you name them?
Enoch and Elijah. What's
the name that got carried out in the Enoch and Elijah. And in the book of Revelation, those are the two witnesses that are standing in your temple. They are at all places at all times. It's hard to conceive of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless there's only one place.
And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. I mean, and there's great volumes in the ancient Hebrew and the Zohar and all the about Enoch. Do you understand Enoch is not just in Hebrew. Enoch is in all religions. Yeah. And he's the great, I mean, this next one, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now that's got to make, that's a simple little sentence. It's got to blow people's mind. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
He walked with God and didn't he suddenly just vanished?
He vanished out of their sight. He was transfigured.
He was transfigured.
So was Elijah. Enoch and Elijah. The two witnesses. Huh?
His body.
Everything. Even his poop. Huh?
Wisdom and prophecy. His poop was pooped.
When Christ was transfigured, was it Moses and Elijah that he saw?
Well, he saw Moses and Elijah. Okay, but Enoch and Elijah are the two witnesses. And the two witnesses, if you believe the book of Zechariah, that are standing in your temple are wisdom and prophecy. That the two that never died, Enoch represents wisdom. Elijah is prophecy. So that all it preaching is, if you think about it, all it preaching is prophecy with wisdom. Now, that you can't get to prophecy with wisdom unless you go through prophecy. In other words, you have to make a fool of yourself for a time. You have to just speak whatever's there without concern for whatever's going to happen.
And that's how Enoch was.
That's right. For a while. He just spoke what's there. That's why he walked. Whatever was there, he didn't second guess. He just said it. That's why Christ said, except you become as that little child who just speaks what's there, you can in no wise enter the kingdom. You understand? No. You've spent all this time of your life being jarheads. Jarheads. You considered everything carefully in your mind before you spoke. Jarhead means it is now on the descent. Hopefully it's gone. Now you can afford to be an Enoch. You can speak. All right, let's go on. Let's go. Let's look at that. Let's look at a couple places. Let's go to 2 Kings. Well, in chapter 2 of 2 Kings. Chapter 2 of 2 Kings. Let me just read it from 1 through 11. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as my soul, thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. Now, what in the hell do you think all that was about?
As long as he was there, he was going to leave. As thy soul liveth.
Why would God do that? I mean, why would he require that of Elisha? Now, think about it. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and the two stood by the Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided here and there, so that the two went over on dry ground.
Nobody knew what was going to happen, so probably it was like, you know, maybe a lightning bolt was going to hit him, or the earth was going to open up and swallow him, and Elijah was saying, I don't care what he does, I'm going to stay here. I'm not
going
to leave.
Terry, you know, that's the same as Ruth and Orpha. You remember? It's the same position. No matter where the Lord takes you, no matter your people or my people, I'm with you from death to us part.
Everybody's saying God's going to come to get this guy.
Right. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind unto heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted here and there, and Elijah went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, Behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some stone mountain or some valley. And he said, You shall not send. And when they urged him still till he was ashamed, he said, Send. They then sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days and found him not. And when they came to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, Did not I say unto you, Go not? Anyway, I don't want to get into all that. That's, you guys ought to read that. Now go to Revelation 11. And there was a sign given me, a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court that is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. Now that's, you understand what that means? If we take the temple that was standing as the architect's model of what is going to be, or what the revelation really is, in that temple there was a court of Gentiles that represented the whole world, represented just your life, you're doing stuff, okay? But now he's calling on John to take a reed and to measure the temple for the final thing. And this is what it says. The court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall lay tread underfoot 42 months. Now that's what's happened. the holy city or the holy temple is tread underfoot in you and in spirit for the 3.5 years. That 3.5 years is the 42 months. Now, do you want to get into that tonight?
Sure. We know most of this already, right?
Yeah, yeah. We've gone over it in a minute.
We know a lot of this.
Okay, then you remember what the 42 months is?
Yeah, to finish up.
It's the time from... Right. It's the time from the baptism of Christ until the time of the crucifixion of Christ. It's 42 months, 3.5 years. And it represents, in you, it represents from the time you understand the mystery until the time it's made manifest in you. In the body as a whole, it understands from the time of our understanding until the end. Once we open the seals, there's 42 months left of the earth.
That's really cool. All those three statements you mentioned.
Okay.
At least three. It might.
And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the whole earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Now, Zechariah gives more explanation of these two witnesses. The two olive trees and the two candlesticks is what Zechariah calls them. These two witnesses, I believe, and we teach here, are one was Enoch and one was Elijah. Okay? Now these are all little, like, pieces of the puzzle that hopefully when we finish the 3.5 year cycle, we will have closed the book or opened the, huh? The 42 month cycle. Okay? Back to Genesis. Now, notice that, well, we didn't study it, but in the book of Revelation, those two witnesses are killed. All, and that's because all men must die. Now.
So I thought, you know, well, did they accept the sin offering? Was it, did they just go ahead and appropriate the sin offering that money at the door or going on?
No, they had to die. And they died. Well, there's another place, but we aren't ready for that one yet. Okay.
Wait a minute.
This prefigures the transfiguration of Christ in Matthew 17 and the transfiguration of us in Romans 12. The Enoch thing. Enoch was 65 years old when he had the revelation, when he was taken. That means that, you know, that if anybody asks you who's the oldest man in the Bible, everybody always says Methuselah, because he was 969 years. He's not the oldest. Enoch is the oldest man in the Bible, because he's still alive.
If he was killed, how could he still be alive?
He hasn't
killed him yet.
He's killed in the book of Revelation. It's not happened yet in linear time.
See, that's why he's not going to tell us that, because...
Just too damn bizarre here.
Na, na, na.
Yeah, that's who it
is. Okay. Verse 25, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Lamech... No, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and he begat a son. Now, Lamech means, the word Lamech means destroyer.
Yep.
Okay? So how do you, You're going to name your son the Destroyer.
Well, yeah.
Huh? Yeah, there's probably a rapper named Destroyer right now. He was named because his generation was the one that was destroyed. Now.
Oh, wow.
And Lamech lived 182 years and he begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Now, the word comfort there is a bad word. It's a bad word. It shouldn't be said. The right translation is, "And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall avenge us." Comfort is the word nakam, which means to avenge. "This same shall avenge us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." Now, avenge means to somehow be brought to avenge. You bring the scales of justice equal. You understand? You bring the scales of justice to rest. The word Noah means rest. To be at rest. That's what the word Noah means. But that's not our goal. Noah represents the seventh day. From the seventh comes the eighth, which is the bride. In the Talmud and in the Midrash and in the Zohar and all of them, Noah is just condemned up and down one side and the other. Because he isn't the completed one. He's only the door. What were you saying a while about? Okay. And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And now comes the flood.
Is there any significance to the 777?
That's what I was wondering.
Well,
is that a rest or
yeah,
or an end to something? I mean, I'm just curious.
Well, he died. If you figure all this out, I mean, all these guys died at the flood.
Oh, okay, so.
So seven, you know, we could make a case that seven meant the rest or the,
so he didn't
know
for the flood, he drowned.
He's dying.
Well, they're not specifying cause of death.
Well, but I mean, you know, here's his son says later, Dad. You know, that's. No,
his son says believe, and he didn't.
Well, still, I mean, but that was if he was faced with that, you know, turning his back on.
No,
I can hear this now. You know, he says it's gonna rain, kids. Never seen rain before.
Do you? I mean, to us it sounds obscene to think that people could live for this length of time, 900 years. There's experiments now that show or that give every indication to think that man could live to be 170 years old if he didn't eat so much.
Certainly if his cholesterol level wasn't real.
Yeah.
Stay off the damn Big Macs.
The only reason that men age is because of anxiety and ultraviolet rays from the sun. Now, it's hard. I want you to believe that this isn't a fairy tale. They did live this long. And they lived this long because there was no the cloud cover prevented them from having the ultraviolet rays hitting them, and their life was fundamentally at ease. They, you know, it was not that difficult.
It seems like in our society, nobody would want to live 900 years like we have it now. I mean, it'd drive you crazy.
Oh, I'd love to. No, I would love to, because of the, I want you to stop and think. First of all, think of what you could learn in that period of time.
Yeah, I'm just now feeling like I'm getting above the illiterate level. You know? My life's basically half gone.
I feel like I'm getting dumber. I just want to get out of here.
But think of what you could learn in that period of time. If Adam, if you go on the premise, and I, you know, you may not, this is a big one, to believe that Adam was the best that man could have ever been with regard to intelligence, intuition, knowledge, everything. He knew everything. He was the best that there could have been.
With nothing else, my experience indicates to me man is getting better.
Yeah.
He's crapping on the earth, shits where he eats. I don't believe it.
No, so.
But
so he's either the same or worse than he used to be.
Now, do you ever, have any of you ever heard of, we talked about the Minoan culture? Okay. The Minoan culture is a culture of highly, it's weirder in hell than archaeology. And it's on the island of Cyprus. And the evidence of it, huh? It's Crete, excuse me. And part of it's sunken, yeah. But part of it's on the island of Crete. And the idea of, it's Minoan because it was Noah. And Noah was allegedly the one that lived for all of those years teaching Abraham and other heroes of the Bible from the pre-flood information.
Is that where we get the idea of Atlantis?
Probably.
Under the sea? It's getting for some.
Murder.
And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose.
Is this a different section now?
Are these angels who are doing this?
Who are these guys?
I've always wondered about this.
No, the scroll ends at Genesis 6, verse 8. So we're going to go down there, okay?
Okay, so after all that stuff.
First, we've got to get this question.
That the sons and daughters, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Editorial comment? Editorial.
I guess so. Now.
What's going on?
Hmm?
Well, I mean, the sons of God and the daughters of men, what's going on?
Dr. Giants.
The sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair.
Well, I know. Is this like, is this part of like being spiritualized? Or
what?
What does it mean?
What does it mean? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to
do. There's a game to riot.
Right.
What does it mean? What does it mean?
Tell us.
Sons is the word ben. Bane or ben, B-E-N. And it simply means, it's a word that's normally applied to male offspring, whether they're descendants of men or male offspring of beasts. The sons of God, the words, this phrase sons of God occurs only five times in the Old Testament. Let's go to Job 1, verse 6.
1:6.
There was a man, well, anyway, you all know the story of Job. Have we ever talked about Job?
Yes, we have.
Yes.
We read him every year.
Yeah, we read him every year when it's really possible.
Larry's second favorite.
We can't do anything, so we have to listen to Job.
Yeah, we've talked about Job.
I have nothing to concentrate on except.
Okay, Job verse 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." It says it also in Job 38.
So they were spiritual beings of some sort.
Yeah. "And when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy," and in places here. So the sons of God indicates some kind of angelic creature. It means an offspring or something produced by God that had male tendencies.
Hey, come on, I just bought it.
I can see if they were going to do stuff with the dog.
That's what I'm saying, they had male tents.
I mean, I can remember the myth of the like Zeus coming and visiting women and all kinds of crap. It's pretty out of that.
Let's see if we can create a scenario where this would have happened. In before the Adamic age, before the age of Adam, as we studied, and we'll study much more when we get into Genesis 11, there was a time that could have been billions of years, we don't know, for which it was the age of Lucifer. It was the age of a different kind of being than we are that existed on the face of the earth. The reason this happened, and they ate of both the tree of knowledge of good and evil and of the tree of life, and they were spiritualized. And the earth was essentially destroyed. And then Adam was created, and we have now what we have, the age of Adam. What we have is a way in which that man can be tested both spiritually and naturally. And he has to be tested by every possible thing that can confront him. And so one of the things that has to be confronted is this concept of, it's almost like God had a second thought. He'd had the age of Lucifer and he destroyed it, and then he had the age of Adam and he's looking at it, and all of a sudden he has a second thought that says, well, what would have happened had the age of Lucifer's beings been able to mate with the age of Adam's beings? In other words, there is a scenario that isn't yet tested. You understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that might work.
There might be a possibility that then if that might work. And in other words, that might work and my son wouldn't have to die. You understand me?
Yeah.
Can you grok it? Can you feel it? Can you have empathy for it? In other words, God had to have all considerations, all options covered. The sending of his son and the death of his son had to be the last option. There had to be an option here of the beings from the age of Lucifer mating with the age of Adam. Now, you're right. All of that, that scenario is where we get all of the concepts about myth. I mean, the myth has a genetic memory. All of the heroes of myth and the giants came from this scenario. You have to see now,
so the idea of a spirit being mating with a human female and producing an offspring is in itself a counterfeit
right.
of a spirit being.
Oh, yeah.
Really about a virgin, a human female, but without the parent.
Okay.
Instead, they were just giants.
Now.
Heroic. And he was a weak.
Do you understand that this has to cover now what you see as the New Age movement?
Right.
Yeah. God had to have every possible option of something happening could have had to be covered before the sun died. Every other way had to have been tested and failed before the sun had to be sent, or could be sent. All of the concepts now, really, if you think about it, the incubus and the succubus and the hoppabus and all of the sexual beings, the incubus is the being, the channeling, the woman that's being channeled, and it's a sexual experience. Have you seen that? All, wait a minute, we gotta read it. I gotta read it. We gotta read something. It's time for you to understand this.
In 4 here, and this where it says there were giants in the earth in those days, that could also say there were supermen.
That's what it was.
And heroes and heroic beings at a master race.
Magical beings.
And really the best, the flesh, or the strongest and most powerful flesh.
Now, was this after the flood?
No.
This is all of this is all before the flood.
And yet all that was still evil. The strongest flesh could be, rather than the weakest.
Now let's wait a minute. I gotta remember where this is.
Okay. I mean, you know, when you think about it, right? Spirit woman produces Superman. Spirit woman produces weak in the novice.
Let's go to Matthew 21. This is the most, this is really, I'd never seen it from this angle before, but let's really think about this. Matthew 21, verse 33.
So what modern man really wants is to savior this
giant. Or hero. He wants to roll it.
Man of renown, as it
says. Hear another parable. Hear another parable. Shema, another parable. Hear with understanding. Look and see another picture that says the same damn thing. There's only one story, and this is going to show it to you differently. Okay?
You're in 21 where?
33. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. And again he sent other servants, more or greater than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their season. And Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a people bringing forth the fruit thereof. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, and but whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. When the chief priests and Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them. And they sought to lay hands on him. They feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Now what? Man beings were first tested in spirit, the Lucifer's kingdom. You understand? And among Lucifer's kingdom, there was none that could be found that could meet the heart of God, which was simply God wanted a friend. Because among that kingdom, they all failed. They all sought after their own. Okay? Okay, then he tested man, first in his innocency in Adam. And what happened when he tested man in his innocency? He fell. Then, and he tested man, first of all, with what's called just the basic laws, the Noachian laws, as we'll see in a minute. And he fell. And then he tested, here what we'll see is he tested man with the possibility of being half spirit or half angelic and half man. And they were destroyed. They just did evil. And finally he tested man by sending his son. And that's what this parable is about. And he sent his son, and they cast him out and crucified him. And now he said, other creatures other than you will be my domain. And that's what we are. We are neither human being. Fleshes can no more be tested. Flesh has been tested and failed. You cannot be tested after the flesh. There's no testing. You're not being tested as to whether or not you should smoke another cigarette. You're being tested as to whether or not you will offer everything up to the Father every minute. You must be among them that continue with him in his temptation. He tested men by the law. They failed. He tested men by one seed. It failed. But one of the things he tested man was mixing the idea of spirit beings with Adam beings. And they failed. That's where we are in Genesis. Okay? Can everybody grok that?
Yeah, now it's just like, it says, and he made the man a living soul. And at that point you said, there's no spirit there, it's soul. This is when the spirit and soul come together?
No. Don't get confused by those two words. Genesis, back to Genesis 6. Okay, now we got... The Lord said, my spirit, in verse 3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Now, wherever you see the word strive in the Bible or contend, another translation of it is being tested. It's being tested. It's almost as if the only way that we can ever feel the same part of this is in relationships with male, female, with sexual. You're attracted. You are sitting as a picture of God in this instance, and you're looking out among all the possibilities, and there's an attraction. And there's something in you that says, is this the one? And so you contend with that one for a while to see if that's the one. Do you understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you find out that's failed and you discard it. And then you go and you go for another and you contend. It's this plaintive cry of your heart, is this the one? Do you understand? That's the picture of what God is doing here. Now, I know that may sound sacrilegious to some.
That's great.
But that's the only way you will be able to understand emotionally this word, and therefore that this word would become flesh.
Does this also mean like in an individual man, I will not forever play this game with an individual?
Amen. It means...
There thence comes the fear of God.
Right. It means he doesn't really give a shit about an individual. Do you understand that? He doesn't... I mean, all this... God, yeah, you know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? Yeah, die. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior and die in the grave. All that stuff is bullshit. He's got a plan for a bride. If you choose by abandoning yourself, you are offered a part in that bride. If you choose to continue on in your own way, you know, you're...
You're crushed to fine powder.
You're nothing.
Your max is 120 years.
I mean, just
no, that's not what this said.
How we are anyway. I mean, just being alone, we don't like...
Okay, well, God doesn't like being alone any more than we do.
Yeah.
God wants somebody that he can talk to. He wants people, he wants somebody, he wants pals that will... As I've said, if God said, Tylene, go kick the wall. And if you didn't go kick the wall, then you'd be an idiot if you knew it was God saying it. But God wants you to kick the wall without him telling you to. God's got all these angelic beings that could kick the wall a whole lot better than you can, but that didn't give him any pleasure. He wants you to want what he wants without him telling you to. Now, if you think about it, that's the same damn thing you want in a mate. You want someone to want what you want without saying anything. In fact, you want someone to be able to con you a little bit. You want someone to be able to get you into deeper wants that you never dreamed you wanted.
Prior to
that very moment. Do you understand me? Well, that's just, believe it or not, that's God. God wants an eternity of an expanding universe of that kind of a relationship. All that religion tries to do is to make you into angels, angelic beings with little wings, and you fly around and get bored. I mean, the idea, the religion of the Criswells and the Baptists, I would be so totally bored with it, it would be sick. I mean, if that's what God wants from me, forget it, I'm going to hell. I mean, they're bored. I mean, if all God's going to be is a bunch of Wally Amos Criswells and Pat Robertson up there, I'm going to hell. I'm going the other direction. That's sick.
You'd already be in hell.
My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Now, man there has the definite article with it. And in Hebrew, that means it's the man. My spirit shall not always strive with the man. You remember, there's only two men in the Bible. You're not in there. Nowhere are you in there. The first Adam and the last Adam. His spirit shall not always strive with the Adam, the Adam, the one of blood. Adam had corrupted his way on earth as all other men had. But at this point, the 120 years is that what was left? It was 120 years. Adam lived 120 more years from this point, from that time. You understand that?
So Adam got to see then
the fruit.
He got to see the fruit of what he.
Okay, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, they same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Now that's the men of myth. Every culture has men of myth. Same, we've talked about this when we studied the stars. The word giants is the Hebrew word Nephilim. Nephilim. The last giant. I mean, you know, it takes a long time for things to die out. The last giant was Goliath, and when David killed Goliath, that was the end of the giants having any possibility of being redeemed. Do you understand? Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, That's the same in you today. Every imagination, every scheme, every plan that you have is only evil continually. In other words, it's not just evil because it's not doing the right thing. It's evil because it's inherently evil. It's evil because it's just bad. I mean, we're talking bad. That's why with your mind you can never apprehend the things of God. That's why the high place activity within you, you have to see. You have to stop paying attention to your thoughts and your imaginations. There must come a day when you finally say, there is no thought or imagination that I can have about me or mine that has any merit. And that unless the resurrection is real, unless abandonment is real, I am dead meat. And then you can truly understand what it says when Paul cast down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hasn't changed from this time. You understand? It's not going to get any better.
You know, in this book, I mean, it seems like everywhere you look, you see that, you know, where it says you're evil. And I don't see where the other religions get that you're good. And that's, you know, that...
It's because they get it from the God of this world. It wants to make them believe they're good. They put blinders on, so when they read this, they only see those half-scriptures.
They were bad.
They believe in dispensation.
We're good.
They were bad. And it's like, I used to be bad, but now I'm good because I accept Jesus. Or, this part was for them guys back there. This doesn't mean for you. Okay. Let's do one thing. No, let's not. Let's stop there. That's a good place to stop. What?
It's a good place to stop.
It's a good place to stop.
Lots of this part.
Take a big guy.